we that's because we do not know about it. That's why we listen to them and then we think that craving is no good. We didn't prove to ourselves that craving is no good. Right? So in Buddhism, we do a lot of investigation. Investigate into these sort of things. When people make a statement, don't simply believe them. Make some investigation. Now, you have to investigate. You got to start somewhere. Right? Somewhere. How do you investigate things? I'm quite sure all of you have got some science background, do you? Scientific investigation is also Buddhist investigation as well. We are quite scientific in our approach, although we follow a slightly different line. So, in science, when you want to find a problem, or you want to get rid of something, you got to know what it is first, isn't it? Otherwise, you're just like a blind man trying to get rid of something which you don't even know what it is. So, we got to have a definition first. The first definition is, what is craving? Any idea what's craving? You all got craving, don't you? Yeah. I know a lot of you like to have food, isn't it? And the Asians like food very much. The first thing we think of is food, laksa, ayam goreng, and all these things. So, now we have got that craving, and we know. Now, is the craving already bad or not? Craving for laksa is already bad or not?
No.
But the whole trouble is when your craving goes out of hand, what's going to happen? The laksa from this shop is not as good as the laksa from the other shop. And when you go want to have laksa in this shop, the shop is closed, you go and have laksa in the other shop, then what happens? Oh, it's not as good. Then you get all the complaints, you know, it just troubles you. And whether you're thinking of that, your mind starts to move around, right? And you are focusing on things which are not important. Right? If you understand things better, you know that laksa is just laksa. What is laksa actually? It's something. Then we got noodles. And then when you eat it, it fills up your stomach. It gives you energy. You can go and play your sports. Right? Food is food. Laksa is food. Food is food. But why do we want to distinguish the laksa from this shop and the laksa from that shop? It's because of the craving of ours. We crave for that. Taste. How many? This taste is one of the senses we have, the sense basis. Taste comes out of our tongue, isn't it? When you eat something, it's pleasant. When you eat something, it's not pleasant. Now, that a particular taste may taste good to a person, but may taste horrible to another person. But still, basically, they are. The taste is the result of the food touching the tongue. Right? So from that, you can see, slowly we go into the definition of craving. Craving means the clinging on to that certain sensation, isn't it? I never years ago, I never liked laksa with the coconut milk. I come from a country where, come from a place where we have laksa with asam, no? Sour laksa. So when give me this laksa with coconut milk, I say, yuck, I won't eat. Why? They're just the same. They're just a food. They go inside your tummy. They give you energy. You digest. You feel full. But why is that? Because I think this is better than this. So in other words, your thinking is being shifted to one direction. You become very biased about it. And that usually will cause us problem. Now, this taste for food is a very, very minor thing. There are other cravings which is bothering us. Right? We usually, if we crave for something which is going to give us very, very bad results, then we are going to have a problem. Right? Supposing now, I look at your Buddha image. Right? So I like the Buddha image very much, isn't it? I like it because it's very beautiful. I've been seeing it for the last 20 years since I started giving talks to the Univac. Right? Every year I come, every time I come, I bow to it. And this to me is a holy thing now. You see, you know, I started to put the reason why I like about the Buddha image. After all, what is the Buddha image? It's made, is it made of wood or plastic? You don't even know. Go and knock, knock, knock. The Buddha image is, I presume it's made of wood. All right? Cut from a piece of wood. And I know it's quite an old one because at least it's about 30 or 40 years old, this Buddha image. So it's made of wood and it's carved and it looks, to me, it looks beautiful. Why do I think it looks beautiful? Because I come from a Buddhist family. Right? When you're young, you see your mother tell you that it's Buddha, that is a very nice thing, he's there to help us and all this. So we pile a lot of goodness into this idea. See, you know? So the thing has shifted from an object into an idea. And then you put the idea back into the object. So it becomes a sacred object to the Buddhists. Alright? And therefore I like it. Now, if I, that's the beginning of the craving. I like it. Right? The craving of wanting. Now, if I were to go further than that, what happens? I want to have it. I want to own it. Right? So that's normally that's the process where craving goes. It becomes like I want it to be mine. And then what? Next thing, I ask for it from you. Right? Can you give me the image or not? And of course, you got your own craving for the Buddha. You say, how can I give it to you? This is our Unibats thing, right? Every year, if you, without the Buddha, we cannot pay respect to the Buddha. So you wouldn't give it to me. Then my craving starts to be very strong, or the clinging to that idea that I want it is so strong. I start to have some bad thoughts. And what is the bad thoughts?
Steal it.
I want to steal it. So now, this stealing is actually, according to the Buddhists, a very bad action. Because there's a lot of consequences with it. Now, I'll tell you later. So what I do is, I take that. When you're not around, I take it and then I quickly run off with it. I stole your Buddha statue. And then when you find that your Buddha statue is not there, what happens? You know, you investigate and all this thing, and finally you found out that I stole it. Then what's next you do? Jim pretend to be a very good Buddhist teacher, holy man, but he steals our Buddha image. See, I get all the bad reputation. Now, even if you do not do all these things, you say, okay, he can have it. I will be guilty myself. When you do something bad, do you feel guilty or not? And the guilty feelings keep on biting into you, makes you feel unhappy. So I'm worried, you might find out, I'm worried this and that. So I'm carrying the burden. It's the act. Where does it all start? Starts halfway as clinging. I cling to that Buddha image because I like it. I like it. Right? The I is there. Then when the I is there, I want it. Again, I want it. If I don't want it, nothing happens. But I want it. Then after that, I take it. You see how many I's there are? No? This is the clinging becomes your action. And we do all these things, a lot of all these things. Now, when we are clinging to most of the things we think about, there is always the result of suffering. Right? Has anybody spoken about the Four Noble Truths yet? Huh? The what they call it, the suchas? Now, that is very important. Why do we suffer? According to the Buddhist teaching, we suffer because of our attachment, isn't it? Huh? Now, clinging is that very strong attachment. As we know, we cannot get rid of the clinging without training. Right? Just think of how many attachments you got, how many of those very strong clinging attachments you got. Right? We cling to a lot of our habits. Sometimes you got a lot of bad habits. Now, I'm quite sure none of you smoke here. Anybody? No, I wouldn't ask. Because I know some people smoke in the toilet. So, okay, you see people who smoke. You tell them to stop smoking. They can't stop smoking. Why? It's because they clung onto it. Some people even know that it's bad for them to smoke, and yet they still smoke. But because they can't shake it off. They don't have the ability to. As for, you know, the second question, why can't we get rid of it? Now, this is a very good example. The other one which some of you might be guilty of is drinking alcohol. Now, maybe I don't think you all are mad drinkers and get drunk on alcohol, but you can see among your classmates, among your friends, some of them after lectures, they go straight to the bar. Have one or two beers, and then, so good about it. That is addiction, that is clinging. You can think of so many different things in people's life, and also you can think of many of those clingings which you have in yours as well. Some of them can be very serious. If you cling on to playing things, like people, years ago, people go and play these pinball machines, you know, they play all this amusement park. When they cling on to it, they won't go and study. High school kids, I see them going, sit down there every day, put $2 in, stand up $2 in. Right? And that's clinging, because they can't get rid of it. It becomes a habit. Right? And the ones which cause a lot of serious problem, we can isolate them. But for us, there are a lot of our habits which causes little problems, little stress here and there. Now, if you get little stress every day, then it becomes a very heavy burden for you to carry. So that's why we got to talk about learning how to stop our clinging. But there are also other forms of things which do not cause a lot of problem. So you can say that there are, it's not so that the clinging are good, but they are not very important. So when, like, for example, like your habit of not having shower in the morning, okay? A lot of people don't have shower for 2 days or 3 days. That's habit. But it doesn't really matter very much, except that your classmates will you know, when you sit around people, they feel a bit funny with it, with the smell, that's all. So that is not so important. But there are a lot of clingings which are very, very serious in you. Now, I cannot tell you what it is. I can give you a few examples. But you can use these examples and check with yourself how many clingings you have. For those people, you can say, what you can try to do is maybe write it down. How many clingings you got. Don't show it to your friends because they blackmail you. So you write down and keep it somewhere where it's safe. Write a code anyway, so that people can't understand you. And then you check how many clingings you got. But tonight, I can also talk to you about the ways the Buddha advises how to get rid of this clinging. So we have identified the clinging. The clinging are the ones you hold on, attachment. Some people are cling on to their boyfriends or girlfriends. And when we cling on like that, what do we call it? Four letter word. L-O-V-E. You have that kind of love is clinging. You see how clinging, I'm quite sure of some of you have got boyfriends or girlfriends. You can see how the clinging is, right? You have to go everywhere with the person. And then the moment the person is not around, you feel like a loss. So the more you cling, the more the loss is. But actually, it's just 2% getting together. But we place so much importance in it. So much so that we cannot survive. We find it, it's a suffering for not having that person around there. How many of you are Indonesians or Malaysians? Many. You know rindu, huh? Rindu. So that is the feeling, right? The Southeast Asian is means the attachment it is to that liking. Right? So children are naturally attached to the parents. Right? And the parents are naturally attached to the children. But sometimes the attachment can be very hard, very strong, the clinging. Right? So if that, when you have got the clinging, then when you come to time to separate, even for a short while, there is suffering. Right? Now, when you all left your home, your family, how do you feel? Do you feel happy? Oh, I'm leaving my family? So, when you airport there, goodbye, 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 right? And you keep on turning back and look. That is clinging. We cling because of our emotions. Because we feel that there's going to be a loss of the thing. But after a while, do you still cling that strongly or not? You might think of them. Once in a while, send a text message. How are you? In the first part, you know, when you first come, the text is this long. Then slowly, it becomes shorter. The text every day. Then after that, less and less. You see, you know, the clinging is not so strong. And it's because you train yourself to be that way. Even without the Buddha's teachings. But when the Buddha teaches, it is going to be a very, very good way of getting rid of your clinging. Once you understand your clinging, then we got to know where this clinging comes from. In the teachings of the Buddha, we talk about the second noble truth. You, okay? I, he, she, that person, he's the first person. First person means not me looking at you and say, that's you. I'm saying, this is me, okay? What do I have? I've got my mind, and I've got my body, okay? The Buddha says, you. And then you've got attachment. Therefore, you have suffering. This is the explanation of the second noble truth. Right? Dukkha Samudaya in Pali. The cause of suffering. The cause of suffering is attachment. Because you are alive, a person who is alive. Now, why do the Buddha say that? So I just go a bit more in detail for you. Okay? Now, when you have got this body, what do you have in your body? You've been at the talk so obvious.
What way should I?
The six things.
Oh, the six senses.
Eyes.
Ears. Nose.
No. Ears. Nose. Tongue. What is
six? The six senses.
Body. Then usually we talk about. Now this sixth one is a bit, is something like both physiological and psychological, right? It's the, we can say the brain, we can say consciousness, these are the things, brain and consciousness, right? Or sometimes we use mind. Now, this is a normal, common, very common explanation, because our mind is again here. Right? Now, what do you have this in mind? What does your mind involve? The mind involves a process. The body is the physical thing, usually the brain. But the mind involves the process of how these things happen. Right? So in the mind, you've got consciousness. Sensation. Feeling. Perception and volition. Right? You've got to have all this in order so that you can function. At any time, you will be conscious. At any time, you will have this sensation. The sensation, the feelings of things. When I look like that, I am conscious of you. Right? So that consciousness will come out. Then perception is to recognize things. When I look at that, I recognize I've seen this guy before. Then if I know who you are, straight away I know this is person A, this is person B. I put my eyes there. This thing is nothing more than an object. And the Buddha called it a form, a shape, a size, a color. So when I look at it, the first thing that strikes me is I got this sensation because I'm conscious. If you know me unconscious, you put the Buddha image in front of me, even the Buddha come dancing in front of me, I still can't recognize. Okay? So I'm conscious of things, aware of it, Buddha. Why do I say Buddha? Because my eyes come into contact with it, then I'm conscious the fact that it is a thing. Then I start to have this sensation, and the sensation tells me it's good or bad or whatever, then perception. I start to recognize this as a Buddha. Now, this volition or mental formation, it means that my intention of what to do with the Buddha. So, for a lot of us, you can see your elders, you know, when they go to a temple, usually when they see a Buddha image, what they do? They kneel down and go and pray, right? That is the volition. Because they see the Buddha, they know there is a Buddha, they like the Buddha, so they have got this volition. Okay? So this is how we work. And we normally work through attachment. If there's no attachment, we don't work at all. We don't function at all. Right? So that's why the Buddha tells us to be very careful about this attachment. We try to be able to sort out things ourselves to find out this is going to cause me suffering. Then we try not to let that attachment go ahead. Okay, any questions so far? Simple thing, isn't it? Huh? Actually, Buddhism is very simple. They tell you it's very difficult. No, it's nothing. Right? In the olden, during the Buddha's time, even not too many people went to university during the Buddha's time. Right? They didn't even go to high school. Yet, they can be very good Buddhists. So the same thing, we got to bring back and bring our knowledge to the very simple thing. Now, how do I get this attachment again? Example with the eyes. My eye, I come to terms with the object. So, when it comes to terms with the object, then all these things happen. I got a sensation, it starts with, then perception. Right? After this perception, then this attachment starts to come to take place. And you perceive it's attachment already. Very small attachment. And if you see more of it, if your mind settles on it more, then it becomes what we call clinging. Right? Now, before it becomes clinging, we have got this craving. It's craving for these six things. If you hear a beautiful sound, the fact is that your ears come into contact with the sound. And how do you hear? It's just vibration touching on the eardrum. Because you got air there, therefore your ears, the nerves is touched and you can hear a sound. But when you hear a sound, what is next? Thinking. Right there. When you hear a sound, thinking. Supposing you sit down there and then somebody drove a motorbike around here. Very loud motorbike noise. How do you know it's motorbike noise? Because the thing touched your ears, there is sensation. And from sensation, because you have heard motorbike noise before, so you recognize that as motorbike noise. Right? So it becomes perception. Now, if you hear the noise and say, okay, it's motorbike, the sound of a motorbike, and let go of it, nothing happens. But can you let go or not? You're going to get attached to it, and then you cling on to it. I don't like that noise. That's where you get problem. I don't like the noise. The noise is disturbing me. All these things. And then all of a sudden, what happens at the moment? You are not focusing on the thing you are doing at that moment. Isn't it? That's why you all get distracted during your lectures. Right? It can be something you see, you know. If you're supposing you sit down there, the poor guy, you know, usually the lectures are very dull. Right? Blah, 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 blah. And then you already get bored already. You want something to be more interesting. Then you see that. Somebody ran without clothes outside. Which is common during my time in uni, you know. Not that I do that, but a lot of them tried to be very funny. In the 60s, they tried to be funny. So they do all sorts of funny things. They just run. What happens? You see that? Ah! Then what happens? You can look back onto the lecturer, but your mind is somewhere else. You're imagining all sorts of things. You can say, okay, if you are the very proper one, that they shouldn't be doing that. Then sometimes you got all those fantasies you get, right? So, you see, you are being distracted from doing what you are doing. And that is why this clinging is not a good thing as well. You start to see, it's just nothing. Something just passed by. And you hang on to it very strongly. And then your thoughts, everything goes on to there. Does it give you any benefit or not? Is it more beneficial if you listen to your lecture, or is it more beneficial thinking of the thing which has already gone? So that is why we are talking about the bad effects of our clinging. We try not to cling. But how many of you tried not to cling? Do you ever try that? And you go there, cling, shake, cannot go. Shake, cannot go. And the worst thing is clinging to falling asleep. You got lectures in the afternoon after a nice meal. Then you sit down there. The fellow talking away there. But nowadays you're right, you got a phone, you can record things. So you can say that is why clinging is not a good thing for us. And sometimes it's clinging, if we cling on too badly, we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. You cling on to illegal things, then we get into trouble. You break the law, you harm yourself, and so on. And even small clingings, it takes away a lot of your attention into doing your things. So that's why, can we conclude that clinging is not a wholesome thing? Would you agree to that? Say, but my boyfriend loved me. I cling to him, it's all right. I want to marry him one day, I cling even more to him. If I don't cling, how can I get married? Isn't it? We give all sorts of reasons why we should cling. Now, if you keep on doing that, you are going to get problem. Because when you see, a lot of times when you cling on that interpersonal relationship, when you cling on too heavily, you're going to have a lot of jealousy if you do not know how to train yourself. You get jealous. The fellow go because of work, they got to go to Perth for 2 days. Then what happens? I know of a wife who is like that. The husband leave for 2 days. She's sitting down. Cannot eat, cannot sleep. Maybe he got a mistress in Perth. There you are. Then come back, quarrel. So, the clinging, this kind of clinging leads on to a lot of unwholesome things. Because we do not understand, and therefore we cling on to it. But on the other hand, can you live without clinging or not? No, at this stage you can't. Isn't it? So, what is the best thing for us to do as a young person, we've got our future, we've got to get a job, we've got to attend lectures, we've got to get our degree, you know, all these things. These are all clinging. But you can see at the moment, this moment is positive clinging for us. We've got our strong wanting to be successful in our life. But you've got to be very, very reasonable with that sort of clinging. If you cling on the idea of wanting to go to the moon, then it's going to be a bit difficult. But even to have an idea of I want to be successful, even though you cling on to that idea, it's not as bad because you want to be successful. But you've got to be reasonable with your success. So, in other words, we are at this stage, all of us will have to be aware of that negative clinging. The clinging of wanting to kill somebody. That's where the Buddhist teaching comes in. The precepts. The clinging of wanting to steal your Buddha image or anything at all. The clinging of wanting to break up people's relationship. The idea of wanting to break up people's relationship. Want to go and take somebody's boyfriend or girlfriend away. The clinging of wanting to tell lies and truth. And of course, the clinging to drugs and alcohol. These are the five things you've got to be aware of. Just know that it's not a good thing to do. So for people like us, when we call ourselves lay people, now, the monks and nuns have got the different sets of rules. Right? For us, we are guided by things, but not, we don't have rules to follow. So we got to see, got to learn how to avoid these five things. Reasonable or not? Only five things. Can you avoid all of them? I'm quite sure not killing you all can. Sometimes you're going to extend and not killing the cockroach like that. Don't. So we can avoid that. Avoid stealing. Can you do that or not? We can also. But sometimes you see, oh, there's a pen there. I pick up, that's my pen. So try to avoid that as well. Then of course, running away with people's boyfriend or girlfriend, try not to do it. Because that is the worst thing, because that desire for that sort of thing is very, very strong. When you see a person you like, I don't care who he is, whether he's got a girlfriend or not, or whether he's got a boyfriend, I want him, I want her. Try to see that is unreasonable. And so avoid doing that. And the fourth one, I think, is the most difficult one. The clinging of the intention to tell lies. How many of you have never told a lie before? Can you promise anybody that you're not going to tell any lies anymore? But that's the way out. It's not that we give reasons for telling lies, but we can be more aware of these sort of things. That is why the Buddha talked about a very important thing as well. This is a very important thing. Mindful. Mindful of everything that we do. Mindful of the good things we do, mindful of the bad things we do. That means if you want to tell a lie, sometimes it just comes out like that because it's out of habit. And somebody have a new hairstyle, when you know that this person has spent $60 or $70 going to the hairdresser, make the hair like that, and then come and tell you, how do I look? What do you all say? Even though inside the mind that you look horrible. So just be aware of that you're telling a lie. And you told a lie, just be aware, I just told a lie. Number one is that. Number two is, slowly, after a while, if you have the intention of telling the lie, if you know that I have the intention of telling the lie, you stop doing it. But sometimes we don't tell a lie, we always think that we tell the truth. So the fellow come with a hairstyle and then I come and show you in front of you. And then how do I look? And then you say, you look horrible. Worse still. The fellow knock you on the head. But The Buddha has got another advice: keep quiet. If you are going to be hurt people's feelings and all these things, keep quiet. Don't say anything. Say something else. Go and change the subject. So there's a skill we've got to learn. Then the fifth one is try to avoid your clinging through abstaining from all these mind-altering drugs and things. When a person drinks too much alcohol, what happens? They can't even walk straight. The old test, when before they've got RBT, they used to catch people to go to the police station, put the fellow there, walk. If they cannot walk straight, you've got alcohol in your body. So it's that alcohol alters the consciousness of the mind. If people drink to that extent, then they cannot control themselves. And when they cannot control themselves, then 1, 2, 3, 4 will happen. A lot of people kill others when they are drunk. A lot of things happen when they're drunk. So not only during the Buddha's time, the main thing is on this on alcohol, but nowadays we got so many things which alter your mind. And when you come across that, try not to get involved with them, especially to take them. So these are the five things. And the five things is what we call sila, or our ethics. We don't have a whole book of rules, only five rules. Keep the five rules in mind and consciously try to keep them. And when you try to keep them, you avoid a lot of clinging already, but you don't avoid a lot of, still there's still a lot of more left in you. And how to train yourself then? So you need to talk about how to get rid of them. Another simple thing is, the Buddha said, train yourself to be mindful. Now, you've got to be mindful about the actions of this. When you see something, okay, I see that there's a beautiful thing. Okay, that is a beautiful thing. Finish off. If I know that my desire arises, that's my craving arises, then it becomes more attractive to me. Right? And then it comes to the stage when I cling on to it, I can't get rid of it, then I want it. I do all sorts of things to get it. So, the Buddha tells us to be mindful of the actions of the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and your thinking. Right? It's very, very important. Now, for those of you who come from a Chinese Confucius background, if you read Confucius' book, Confucius says, always straighten your thoughts. But he didn't teach you exactly how to straighten the thought. Whereas the Buddha does it. He didn't say straighten your thought, but he says to be mindful of what is happening inside here, inside your brain. What thoughts are you getting? So it's very important that we develop mindfulness. Have you done any mindfulness meditation course?
Yes. Breathing meditation.
Yeah. Okay. Now, breathing is the first part of it. Right? It brings you to the state where you are mindful of what is happening in your mind. Now, do you know what's happening in your mind now or not? What's happening? You're thinking whether what I'm saying is right or wrong. I agree, I disagree, isn't it? Huh? So the information comes in, you process the information in your computer upstairs, then it starts to right, wrong, what's he saying, and what is meaning and all these things. That is your mind. When you know that, you're mindful of your thoughts. But sometimes when you're sitting alone or when you're facing with certain things, that wanting to have the thing, the craving, when it starts, you've got to be mindful of it. When somebody put a bowl of laksa in front of me, I know that that's my craving. Right? So I smell the laksa. Now, That craving, there's a lot of problems to me, that clinging, you know. I smell laksa. This is Singapore laksa. This is not Ipoh laksa or not Kuala Lumpur laksa. Right? I don't like it. Singapore people don't know how to cook laksa. So, you see, you know, how your mind works. And then what happens when you do things like that? Your mind starts to have that dislike of things. And when you dislike things, you are carrying a burden. And the burden is what the Buddha called dukkha or suffering. And when you see something which is you think is ugly, supposing somebody put a slimy snake in front of me, what do you do when you see a snake? Most of you will get that funny feeling, isn't it? And that feeling is suffering. It's because you cannot stand the sight of it. After all, the snake is a snake, unless it's a poisonous one. So a snake is a thing. Suppose if somebody put a kitten in front of you instead of a snake, beautiful kitten. Oh, you can touch a kitten, right? So why? It's just an animal. The snake is an animal. The kitten is an animal. Most of us like kittens. Most of us do not like snakes. And why is that? Because our mind starts to distinguish and we grade things according to what we like and what we dislike. Now, supposing you like snakes, then it's a different story again. Supposing you hate kittens, then people put a kitten in front of you, a cat in front of you, you say, take it away, take it away. Now, all these actions, all these reactions you get cause you problems. Not big problem, but that's a burden. It makes you feel uneasy for a while. And the uneasiness, all this big and small uneasiness, the Buddha lump it all together as dukkha or suffering. Right. So, if you are mindful, you got to know that. If people put a snake in front of you, this is an animal. Except that when they put a cobra in front of you, then you got to be a bit careful about it. Right. So, understand that. Understand that my mind starts to, it's my preference, it's my sensation. It doesn't mean you got to like everything, but you know that when you develop a hatred of something, that is hatred. When your mind is full of hatred, you suffer. Right? There's an action. When you cling on to the hatred, it becomes your hatred, you suffer even more. Right? So, understand that, and then we can be a bit better in our life. Now, how many worries have you got? You got not as much worry as I have. As you get older, you get more and more worries. So now you still got worries. What's your main worries? Whether you're going to pass exams and things like that. Right? Yeah. Okay. When you have worries like that, do you simply keep on worrying or do you do something about it? If you don't do something about it, that means you are clinging to your worries, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So what do you do when you have worries about passing your exams?
Study
harder. Right? So what do you need to do that? Start to study harder. To put in more effort. Right? And in Buddhism, effort is a very, very important thing. Right? Sometimes, you know, you sit down there, you take your phone, you know, all these games and all these things you want to play. Then you say, my study can come later. Then if you are mindful of that, then you put the thing aside, do your study. That is the way you counter your clinging. To take the right measures for the right thing. If you think you can study by playing your games in your phone or sending long text message to your boyfriend or girlfriend, you can. No, you can't. You can study only when you put everything away, do your things. Now that, even that is not enough. When you want to study, you must also be mindful when your mind goes here and there. Isn't it? How often when you study, you seem to look at the words, but it doesn't sink into it. It is very, very often. Now, so mindfulness meditation will teach you these sort of things. Know that it's gone there. And the most important is let go of the thought. It's part and parcel of our mindfulness training. identify the distraction, then let go of it and go back to what you are doing. Right. So in our training, it's very simple. The beginner of the training is focus on your breathing. That's the job you're supposed to do. And then as the mind goes away, bring it back. Keep on bringing it back. Now, if you do not train yourself, it's quite difficult. So that's why the meditation is a form of training. Don't think that meditation is for honest old men or old women who retire and go to temple and sit down and meditate. You guys will have to do it. The more you do it, the better it is for you. Right? Especially for Buddhists, it even works even better. Right? I'm invited usually to talk to people in the companies. Come and teach my people mindfulness meditation. And I say, they are not Buddhists, it's very difficult. But when you have got a Buddhist background, and when you are, because when you are Buddhist background, you've got to accept a lot of Buddhist teaching, right? When you talk about Four Noble Truths, okay. And this mindfulness is the very center of the Buddha's teaching. How to train your mind. And that is one of the things which is unique to Buddhism. Right? A lot of religious belief will tell you, go and believe, right? Go and do your prayers and all these things. Can prayers help you to pass your exams or not? Some people tell me can, you know. I think it did, because it gives you a bit of confidence. But I give you one example. If you think prayers can pass your exams, all right, how many of you know Greek? Ancient Greek? Okay, go ahead and enroll a course in ancient Greek in the Sydney University, all right? And then after that, do nothing. Don't attend lectures. Every day, go and pray. Yeah? Pray to all the Chinese gods. Pray to all the Hindu gods. Pray to Allah, pray to Jesus Christ. Don't study, don't go attend lectures. And then come the time when you sit for exam, go and sit for exam and see whether you pass or not. Says how much prayers can do to you. So we don't depend solely on prayers. What you got to do is depend on yourself. Depend on understanding. Be mindful when you are attending lectures. Be mindful when you are studying. Be mindful when you are doing your assignments and all this. Right? It doesn't mean that you have got to spend 24 hours a day studying. But when you are mindful, you are actually spending less time doing your assignments and studying. Because you are spending quality time on your job, on your work, without any distractions. Right. Why do a lot of people want to go to a quiet place to study? When I know my local library, HSC times, a lot of students go to the library and study. Why do they want to go? Because it's quiet. Quiet means less distraction. Right. But they still cannot get rid of the distraction in the mind because of the clinging. Right. So they only get rid of one part of it. But when you learn about mindfulness, you are going to get rid of most of your distraction. And how do you do that? Sit down there and be aware that your mind is being pulled by all your distraction, and learn how to bring it back. So what I'm going to do is, the last part of this talk, I'm going to give you about 20 minutes. Learn how to do your mindfulness meditation. Okay? Because if you're attending the Dharma talks, you must get some benefit from it. Right. So to go back to these sort of things, what I'm talking about, learn how to be mindful, the mindfulness of, number one, of your clinging. When I look at that, I like it, finish. When I like it, I just bow to it, nothing happens. But when I keep on going for that clinging, I want it, then I'm starting to get a problem. You give it to me, okay, I'm happy. But if I cling on to it, what happens? When I take it home, I'll be scared the thing, somebody will steal it, right? But I take care of it, it got damaged and all these things. So I'm getting more work. After all, it's nothing more than a piece of wood. It's been, because it's carved, because I like it, because I respect the thing, so therefore I cling on to it. Right? So, but what happens if you don't give it to me, even if in the case I'm so scared to steal it, what happens? I'll be disappointed, isn't it? I'm still clinging to the idea, I want it, but I can't get it. And said, oh, then I go home, I'll be very unhappy and so on. I got a cat, I go and kick the cat. Right? So this is what it is to a lot of us. You can give examples of what is happening to you every day. When you got very strong clinging and you cannot get it, you get this very strong disappointments. And how many of you have really got this strong disappointments before? So what you're going to do is, what happens before is gone. What you can learn is, be mindful and then try to avoid these disappointments in future. Now, when I look at the Buddha image, I can avoid the disappointments very easily. I just look at it and I say, it's a very nice image. Finish. Let go. Then, no other actions, no disappointments. The more I cling on to it, the more disappointments I get if I cannot get it. Right? So just be aware of these sort of facts. It's not that you are exempted from it or anybody can be exempted from it. It's just that with your practice, you can really work on it. All right. Any questions? So how do you get rid of clinging? Be mindful, isn't it? I told you that. But first and foremost, keep to the 5 precepts. Right? Try not to kill and steal and all this. But also, be aware of this sort of things coming up in you. The strong desire when it develops in you. Just know it. Right? When you see somebody, you know, or something at all, and say you see a car which you like, and that's what happens to a lot of kids who go in steal cars and then play around. And they like the car, they can't afford to buy the car, so what happens? They steal the car. Yeah. And if you look at it, there are many, many of such examples in your life. And what to do with it? Develop some mindfulness. Right? When you're mindful of the development of this sort of phenomena in your mind, learn how to stop it. And the way we stop it is what we call letting go at that moment. You know that I like it very strongly, let go. I like it very strongly, let go. Don't keep on saying, don't play onto your desire. You play on the desire, sometimes we get some problems. So it's very easy, isn't it? Any problem with it? Now any problem with your clinging? No more, isn't it? So that's why I do it. Buddhism is not about talking. Buddhism is all about practicing. You must learn how to practice. And the practice is practicing mindfulness. Okay, any questions? Yes? Because letting go is not easy, because all the time since you were a baby, you are being asked to grab onto things. Right? It becomes very strongly, it's very much in our character. Right? It becomes a habitual thing. If you don't grab onto things, don't cling onto things, sometimes it's no good. Right? So what you got to do is learning, is deprogramming the wanting to grab. Right? So what you do is don't try to let go of everything in one go. You can't do it. So what you can do is try to let go of the things which you can let go easier. So look at things. Some habits you got or some regular way of thinking which you have. No. Just be aware of it and try to let go. First time you let go, not successful. Second time, not successful. Third time, not successful. But you keep on letting go. You get the skill of letting go. Letting go of a few things, then you get the skill, then letting go of other things. It takes a long while to do it. So that's why in our Buddhist practice, it's not only one meditation or two meditation. You got to be doing your meditation or your mindfulness all the time, if possible. But the more mindful you are, the less your clinging will become. So if you are not mindful, you get clinging full time. If you are more mindful, you get fewer and fewer clinging, but you still got a lot of clinging. So in other words, what you could do is that mindfulness will slowly learn. It's just like purifying your way you behave, the way you think. Does it answer you okay? Training. Right? Supposing your handwriting is no good, can you do it overnight or not? So you take the thing, take the paper, slowly change. Right? This is very slow. It's just like, you know, you get a rusty piece of metal. It's rusty, but there's a beautiful ball inside there. What do? You just rub. Just sandpaper the thing, and finally you see the ball. And if you do it once a week, then it takes a longer time. You do it every day or a few times a day, it is faster. Now, mindfulness is not all about sitting down, closing your eyes, and watching your breath. It's just the bringing out a mindful of the way your mind acts and reacts. Right? So be careful with it. Know what it is happening at that particular moment. So if you don't have time to sit all the time, the sitting itself gives you the experience. And then, other than the time when you are not sitting to do your meditation, you can transfer all this experience you get in your meditation into your life. Now, for example, drinking this tea. I don't drink the tea just because the tea is there. Why? I got this idea of wanting to drink the tea. So I know, okay, idea wanting to drink the tea. Then after that, there's intention of putting my hand there to hold the tea. Then possibly I want to smell the tea, I want to taste the tea. So just know, just monitor the thoughts all the time. Right? Some you can't do it all the time, never mind. But whenever you have the time to do it, you have the time to do it. So this mindfulness practice can start with very, very simple thing. Brushing your teeth. What do you do when, assuming you brushed your teeth last night? So what do you do when you brush your teeth last night? Straight away go there. Yeah? Put the toothpaste on. Sometimes you don't even know that you're brushing your teeth. Isn't it? When you brush your teeth, you'll be thinking of something else. Now, this morning's lecture, when I'm going to have a holiday, this weekend's unibus activities and all this comes in. These are all distractions when you're brushing your teeth. Because your job at that particular moment is to brush your teeth, isn't it? But why are you everywhere else? Because your habit of having the thing go. Right? So, alright, tonight when you go back, I would advise you, when you want to brush your teeth, know that I'm going to brush my teeth. Now, just note the one thing to brush your teeth. If you can't, never mind. When you go to the place, know that you take a toothbrush out, follow the process, right? Put the toothpaste, and you brush your teeth, note the movement of your hand, where is it brushing, front teeth, back teeth, you know, whether your whole mouth is properly being brushed, everything, concentrate, focus on the activities of brushing your teeth. Okay? Then after, when you put water to cleanse your mouth, okay, do that. Then when you finish, then you are doing your mindfulness meditation, if you can focus on it. So that is a beginning. Learn it. When you walk down the steps, same thing. When you are going to Sydney, and you go outside there, waiting for buses, people push you. Are you very happy people push you? No? Okay. Note your anger. I'm angry. Don't have to react, but just note, I'm angry. Then when you know that you're angry, try to let go of the anger. Don't pretend that you didn't get angry, but deal with the anger by learning how to let go. The first time you do, you can't. After you let go, half a second later, you see, that fella is horrible. How can he push me? Okay, anger, let go again. Keep on letting go of the same thing. Right? Because the reason is, you really, when you say you can't let it go, because of your habit. So you've got to learn how to remove that habit of keep it getting stuck to it, getting stuck to a thought. Right? And sometimes I know a lot of young guys, they got stuck to a piece of music for days, isn't it? I think we keep on playing the 16 bars, I keep on always there. Doesn't matter, don't get upset with yourself. When you're angry, don't get upset with yourself. But deal with the problem by learning how to let go. And pretending that you don't get angry is not a way. So keep on, go. Comes back, let go again. Comes back, let go again. And you can be sure, if you keep on doing that, after 7 days, the Buddha said minimum 7 days, you can see a lot of small little things you can let go of. And that is the training you got to give yourself. Okay, any other questions?
Yeah. How about multitasking?
Huh?
Multitasking.
Meditate.
Multitasking.
Multitasking.
Ah, very good. Actually, you are not multitasking. You know? What you do is, you know, like the computer working 01 01 01 all the time. That means you go this one. Then after that, this one, yeah, moving. Yeah. And if your brain is active, you can. It's quite easy, one, the other. But sometimes, when you get a distraction, then no task done. Not multitasking, nil tasking. Yeah. So what you do is you try to focus on one thing. And you can do a lot better. Multitasking means you are splitting your attention. And if you don't have the skill to, you're going to be cause a bit of problem because you can't really concentrate on both of them. You can't do two tasks as well as you are doing one task. But unfortunately, sometimes in life, we got to do multitasking. So I got to deal with one and then got to deal with another. Just like this now. One question, I deal with that. Now, when I deal with that question, I don't think of other things. I've trained myself to do that. And now I'm talking to you, multitasking, whatever questions, just now or yesterday, nothing happens here. I'm talking to you now. Learn how to be like that. Just learn how to be able to focus on all this thing. Does it make any sense or not? But if you have to do it, you do it. But sooner or later, you will learn that if you focus on one single thing at a time, you do a lot better. Okay, any other questions? Yes?
Can you clarify what you were saying about not clinging on to interpersonal relationships. So, because I think it's really easy to get confused as to what that actually means. Like, are you saying that you shouldn't have any friends, or are you like, what's the? Yeah, I know that sounds really, really stupid, but like, what's the kind of approach that you should be doing?
That's a wrong understanding. Yeah. Because in Buddhism, we got other ways of having good friendship. Now, when you talk about, say, for example, when you got interpersonal relationship, there's always this thing which we call love, right? Can be passionate love, whatever love you call it, right? So even to be friends, we got some mutual love going on. Right? The Buddha did not talk about love like the Hollywood kind of love, you know. I love you, I love you, I love you. And then tomorrow you do something to me, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. It's not like that. Right? Our love is that feeling of friendship. How is the feeling of friendship? You respect the person, isn't it? Huh? Then you try to understand the person. Huh? You try to help the person when he's in difficulties. And these are the qualities which you have. And that is what in Buddhism we call loving kindness. So we should have loving kindness to all of them. But it doesn't mean that you cannot have that sort of friendship interpersonally like a partnership, like a boyfriend and girlfriend or wife and husband sort of thing. It's not that we cannot have that. It's just that we got to be reasonable with that. Right? Just like I told you, sometimes when we love somebody in the Hollywood style, I love you 2 units, you must give me back 5 units of love. Isn't it? Right? Conditional. So we are not talking about conditional love. So we talk about love, okay, you love the fella, you respect the fella, take care of the fella, and all these things. And that itself will lengthen strengthen the relationship. If you have got the love which is very full of personal love, I want something, then it's very easy to develop jealousy, right? And very easy to develop fear of the other person. The person, you can actually be fearful of the person who loves you. Everywhere you go, am I doing the right thing or not? So this is the thing we got to be. This is the thing we got to be aware of. Okay. So don't say that I love you so that I can control you. No, I know personally of a lady who loves her husband very much. She keeps on telling how much she loves her husband. She's not young. She's about, coming to old age. And then it's so unfortunate the husband doesn't like the green color. You know people doesn't like green color? And you guess what? You guess it right. Every birthday, every Christmas, the husband will get something green. He got green handkerchief, green shirt, green trousers, and she cannot get green shoes here. Send over to France to go and get a shoemaker to make special make green shoes for the husband to wear. Right? You call that love? Because she thinks the husband is stupid. Green is so nice. Right? I want you to feel nice, to be nice, so I want you to have everything green. So that is the thing. This is extreme case. So we talk about this personal relationship. Now even to friends, sometimes it's like that. I want you to come with me. And then, or maybe I want you to come with me to see this great movie, or come this great concert or whatever. Then if the fellow can't come, you're no good. So slowly you see how the friendship gets worse. So if you have more understanding, you don't like it, never mind. I still like you as a friend. No problem. And you can see this clinging to our ideas is the way we lose a lot of things. Lose good friends that way. We form misunderstanding that way. We bring jealousy up, right? And we bring disputes sometimes. This is my idea. This is not our idea. Maybe if you have lost your friend through this sort of things, just be aware of it. You can tell your friend, I'm sorry. Let's be friends again. See, sometimes our ideas, we think as the topmost, is the greatest idea. Okay? Any other questions? Right? Yeah.
When you're talking about letting go, is it the same as like avoid thinking about it?
What?
Like when you're talking about letting it go, is it the same as like avoid thinking about that thing?
Yeah, when you let go, try not to think about it.
So is it like avoid like thinking about it?
No. The thought has already happened. So you let go. Don't try to say, I don't want to think about it. If you say, I don't want to think about it, the more you tend to think about it. So, in our Buddhist teaching of mindfulness, know that I've thought about this, okay? The thought has arisen up. I know what it is now. That is the first part, acknowledging the thought. Right? So, for example, I'm angry. Okay? You know that you're angry because the thought of anger has come up in you. I'm angry. I have to let go of it. Now, when you let go, you don't say, I let go, you do something to it. When you do something, means you let go and go back to do whatever things you are doing. Okay? So you're sitting down meditating, and then you suddenly think, somebody has said something bad to you yesterday, and you start to get angry. What happens? Know that anger, and then let go back to your breathing. Okay? Go back to what you are doing. Supposing you are doing an assignment, and then that thought, it'll come in because our thoughts is very unruly. Right? That sort of thing comes in suddenly. Maybe not say anger, can be a disappointment, right? Can be a fear. It comes in, let it go, and then go back to do your computer work. So, do I answer your question?
In a sense, but let's say, because I've seen people who when faced with such emotions, they tend to distract themselves from it more. That consider letting go as well, like they just listen to music or something.
Yeah, don't replace any other thoughts. Just know that it's a thought. Say for example, like now, I sit down there, I say, or I talk to you, then I say I want the Buddha image, alright? Go back to that. I'm thinking of the Buddha image. I let go of the thinking and now I come back to talk to you. That is what I mean by letting go and come back to do the things you are doing. It becomes always bring the focus on the things you are doing at that particular moment. Right? So when you are doing, when you are sitting down, you're sitting meditation, the thing you are supposed to do at a particular moment is to focus on your breathing. Right? But your mind begins to stay in that thing for a while, for too long. It goes away, something will happen. When something happens, know that the mind has gone away and let go, and then come back to do your breathing again. Right? Come back to focus on the breathing again. That is developing concentration. That is also breathing concentration through being mindfulness of the distraction. Okay? Answer. Yeah.
Sorry, going on to his question again. So, from my personal experience, like, say I was really sad about something, and then I was trying to study, and then that was affecting me, affecting my study. So
yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah, so I knew that I was sad, so I was mindful of it, and I knew that I should let go. But then I felt like what was happening was that I was just pushing it away because it kept coming back. And then like I was study, and I'll get sad again, and then I'll try to. So what is the way to actually just completely let go of it?
Keep doing it. That is the important thing. See why it becomes your habit of being disturbed by all these things, right? We are inviting them to come, right? Then of course, you know, that's the second question: why can't we let go of it, right? So why can't we let go? Because we got no training, and that is your training. Learn it now. 7 years later you can let go of a small thing. 7 years later you get to go of a bit bigger thing, right? So that is the thing. We all, when you start, you've got absolutely no training whatsoever. And that is why it's very important in Buddhism to talk about training. When you, some other teachers talk about practice, the practice is actually training. Training of your mind to be able to know. Now, we can put it the other way. You are experiencing your breathing through your movements, all right? When you breathe in and out, you've got movements here. When you breathe in and out, you've got movements here. Okay? You train to focus on the movement. But the mind being the mind, untrained mind, it goes away. Right? In your case, when you are, for example, when you're doing that, then you think, ah, beautiful bowl of laksa. Okay? I mean, my case. So, what I do is, I understand that. Now, the mechanics of it is, I know that my attention from here is being dragged away. So I'm no longer experiencing the movements of the stomach. I'm experiencing a thought. Okay? Then what you do is consciously make an effort to let go. Then bring your attention back here. But after two breaths, the same thing will come back sometimes. Right? Because it's very strong. So let go of it again and come back to your breathing. If you do it often enough, you get the skill now. The Buddhist training is to develop that particular skill of being able to see your distraction and bring back, number one. Then after that, when you are more skillful, your mind is much more clearer, then that sort of study is coming. You know that it's my perception, my volition, my understanding of it. So that's how you improve yourself. It's not to when I tell a lot of people, the believers, I say it's not that how much joss stick you burn, how many times you go to temple. We do that sort of thing. And this is what the Buddha taught. You know, the English translation of the Buddhist scripture is that much. And about 1/3 of them deals with this sort of thing. And it's, you know, how important it is. So just do it. And next time when you all organize for mindfulness, no, next meditation session you get, organize for mindfulness meditation. And you go and learn the thing. When you see mindfulness meditation, go and really spend 4 or 5 hours to do that. It gives just you knowledge, gives you the ability to. But it doesn't give you the skill unless you practice it yourself. All right, any other questions? No? Okay, we have 15 minutes of mindfulness meditation. And now, don't switch off the lights. Okay? Because, you know why? We can know that when you switch off the lights, you are picking a very artificial atmosphere. Mindfulness meditation is to make it real. You sit down alone, and you want to sit down, do your assignment, you got the lights on. Okay? So, sit down comfortably. Now, bring the mindfulness to your body. Close your eyes mindfully. As your eyelids fall down, just be aware of the movement. Then bring your attention to your whole body, starting from the top of your head. Mindful of your body in a very light way. Starting from the scalp, your top of your head, are you relaxed or not? Then your face, your eyebrows, your forehead, your cheeks, your lips, the chins, your ears. Just relax them. Be mindful of the relaxation. Be mindful of how it is on your neck, your shoulders, your arms and hands, your chest, your abdomen, your buttocks, your thighs, your shins and your legs. And now gently place your attention on your breathing. And place your breathing on your nose, or to get a larger place where to catch your attention, on your abdomen, in the stomach. As you breathe in, the stomach rises. As you breathe out, the stomach falls. Just try to focus the attention on this rising and falling. When it rises, make mental note of it as rising, rising. And when it falls, make a mental note of it as falling, falling. Just try to hold your attention on these movements or actions of rising and falling. If you are distracted by thoughts, or by sounds, or by your bodily sensation, just know that they are distractions. They are just bodily sensation. Acknowledge them and let go of them. When you let go, bring your attention back to your rising and falling of your abdomen. Just try to maintain the focus on the movements of your abdomen and note these movements mentally. As you note your breathing, just be aware also that you are more relaxed than when you started. Just bring your attention to all these other attractions which comes to you. The distraction which comes to you will possibly be restlessness of the mind. The mind just goes wandering around. You can't focus on anything at all. Just note that this is the wandering mind, the restless mind. Let go of the restless mind and bring your attention back to the rising and falling of the abdomen. If it keeps on being restless, just be aware of it as often as you can and bring your attention back to the breathing as often as you can. If you're feeling sleepy, just note that you're being sleepy. If you fall asleep, it doesn't matter. When you wake up, just let go of your sleepiness. Bring your attention back to your breathing again, rising and falling. If there's very strong desire in your mind, just note desire. Do not be carried away by them. Just note the desire. Let go of the desire. Try to let go of it and go back to your breathing. If it comes back again, just let go and go back to your breathing. And keep doing so. If there's strong hatred, anger, dislikes in your mind, in your thoughts, just know them and acknowledge them. Do not get carried by them. Let go, go back to your breathing. Your in-breath and the out-breath. If you are relaxed, you feel good, just note this as an experience and try to let go of it as well. Do not get attached to them. Just go back to your breathing again. If your mind is calm and peaceful without much distractions, then note it. Do not get attached to it either. Let go. Go back to your breathing. If you feel restless, just be aware of the restlessness. Let go. Go back to your breathing. If you're sleepy, your mind is tired, know what's happening in your mind. Let go. Go back to your breathing. Do not get carried away by any of those thoughts. If you are impatient, just note your impatience. Know that you are impatient. Let go. Go back to your breathing again. Now bring your attention to your whole body again. Are you still relaxed? If there's any tension, you feel uncomfortable, just make some slight movement to change your posture. When you've done that, bring your attention back to your breathing again. All right, open your eyes and bring your attention back to the world. Anyone having any difficulties? Plenty, I think. What's the greatest of all the distractions you get?
Huh?
There are two of them I can think of very strongly in most people. Number one is the mind is restless. You're trying, concentrate. The other second one is sleepiness. But they are your teachers, remember. They are teaching you. Because they are there to make you want to train. They are there to make you want to put more effort in your training. Right? So we got to make use of this to train ourselves. When you get distraction, know what the distractions are, because those distractions are the beginning of attachment. Now, most of us, when we got that distraction, we are always drawn away from our noting the breathing. It always that way. It draws us away, and then we start to think a lot of things, and the more we think, the more attached we are to things, and it comes to the clinging stage. Right? So the training is to learn how to let go, so that that process that don't join together and form your suffering. Now, you can do it in one go. But if you can train yourself a few minutes every evening or morning, whenever you have time, and then couple with the other aspects of focusing on the things which you are doing. For example, like brushing your teeth, opening a door, the rising of emotions and all these things. When you see somebody, oh, it's so attractive, it's so nice, note the emotion arising. Right? So just note it. Doesn't mean that you should get rid of that yet. Right? So just be aware of it and slowly develop the skill of being able to let go. And when you start to do that, then you become the master of your own self. You can say, I don't want to get angry. And you know what happens when you get angry. Sometimes you are too late to discover the anger. You know the anger, then you can see what it does to you. Nobody can tell you how it feels like. But when you get angry, you know exactly how it feels like. Right? So sometimes we see, is it worthwhile getting angry or not? A lot of people think they're nice to get angry, people scared of me and so on. But you damage yourself first. You carry the burden first. So this is that way we can slowly learn how to get rid of our clinging. Yeah, the Buddha is right. It's not a way of you wanting to cling more to Buddhism. Is the way that teachings itself is for you to be able to get rid of your suffering through getting rid of your attachment, your craving and your clinging. Right? So you can see how simple it is. You don't need to have special robes to wear. You don't need to go and get your beads. You don't need to get yourself and go to church. Nothing. Where you are is your meditation ground. Right? If you feel comfortable sitting on the floor, sit on the floor. If you feel comfortable sitting on a chair, sit on the chair. But sitting on the floor, sitting on the chair is part of the practice. The other part of practice is to be aware of your practical things you are doing. You're brushing your teeth, opening the door. Then you're driving, when you're attending lectures. When tomorrow, if you can, I give you a homework. No, not tomorrow, Monday. You attend lectures, eh? When you attend lectures, see what's happening to you. Are you really listening or not? How much of the time are you listening? So, what I would recommend is, your notes are there. If you don't, assuming you don't use the thing, in the corner there, or the margin here. Every time you're not paying attention to the dot there. See how often you don't pay attention. So slowly, when you're not starting to get fewer and fewer, then you're absorbing a lot more of the teaching. And then same thing when you come back, 15 minutes, just now you did 15 minutes. 15 minutes of meditation like that, you can afford. But when you start, but majority of your mindfulness practice should be when you are doing your things every day. And try to make use of all this, what we call the obstacles and the hindrances, like your anger, fear, worries, disappointments, like your sleepiness, restlessness. They are your teachers. The mental objects are your teachers. Just be aware that they come and try to, for the first time, you can kick your teachers away. So try to do it. Any final questions? So you know that, you've got a lot of things to ahead of you to do. But it's all for your own benefit. Less clinging, less suffering. And when you get less suffering, you can focus the mind on the positive things you want to do in life. Like your study, your relationships, and so on. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff, for the very informative talk. Thank you, everyone, for coming to English Dharma Talk today. I just want to go through the weekly activities that we have for you next week. So next Friday, usual place, usual time, we'll be having English Dharma Talk. The topic is intuitive awareness. The speaker is Ajahn Vimoka, who is visiting a monk from Thailand. He arrived last week and will be staying until the end of April. So we have the opportunity to invite him for the first time for our English Dharma Talk. So please do join. It will be a meditation workshop-based Dharma Talk session. And for Chinese Dharma Talk, it's on Thursday, 26th. The title is Why Do We Uphold Precepts? And the speaker is Venerable Nanrong. It's at Square House 208 from 6:15 to 8 p.m. If you have any questions, please contact JC. And if you have any questions for English Dharma Talk, please contact me too. The details are here. And we have weekly afternoon meditation happening Monday and Tuesday. Venue is Quad G054 for Monday and Square House 214 for Tuesday. The time is 3:15 to 3:45. So if you have lecture breaks, please come along and relax your mind. Should you have any questions, please contact Mei Yan. Contact Jira Sahib. And this Sunday, we will be having a basketball activity for you to relax and do a bit of physical exercise during these assignment and assessment mid-semester stuff. So the time is 10 to 12 in the morning. And basketball, we'll be playing at Moor Park. Things you need to bring is your towel, water bottle, of course your overcoat, and even we have pointed out the details like how much does it gonna cost for you to travel. And yeah, basketball is optional. If you have any questions, please contact Peter, who is sitting at the front. His details are here too. And this Saturday we have a scripture study. The title is Anger Management. The theme is Anger Management. And for more details, I would like us to briefly go through it. So please talk to
you. Ooh, okay. Hi, guys. So this upcoming Saturday, we'll be having our first, a new university event, which is scripture study. Actually, it's not so much of a study, it's more of a discussion, because there won't be really anyone teaching you about like how to read stuff. Basically, we'll be supplying you with the materials, so we'll be providing you with the suttas and also some commentaries, and we'll be having a discussion in groups. So basically, we'll be also providing you with the discussion questions, of course, and you guys can have fun trying to talk about the teaching and having some express some of your opinions about it. So basically, the venue is at Square House 114. If you don't know where that is, you can follow us back to Square House. We'll go there afterwards. The time's at 10 to 1. Yep, 10 to 1. And you don't really need to bring anything apart from yourself, your desire to learn, and your enthusiasm. Woo! You can contact me if you have any questions. And yes, is there any questions at the moment? Yep, no, yep, no. Yes.
Do you need to book?
No, not really. Just walk in. No other questions? Oh, good then. Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
So before we end our English Dharma talk today, let us all pay respect to Kripa Jin. Let's pay respect to Buddha. Let's pay respect to Dharma. Let's pay respect to Sangha. Now, shall we all pay respect to Jim?
Thank you.
So this is the end for the English Dharma talk tonight. If you still haven't had dinner yet, we'll be going to Thai for Thai. So yeah, please come with me.
Okay, thank you. This is the MVP setup. Just text me. Okay.
Yeah, you don't.